You don't hate the Bible, you just hate hearing her talk about it. Turn me down, please, because I can hear myself. It's bad enough they have to hear me. Melody went through her surgery with no complications on Friday. And I haven't heard back since Friday, but she came home and was resting at home. So, yes.
I text Ray Aubrey.
Yes.
Yesterday, and she's doing good.
Okay.
She's eating now. He said she's doing good.
Well, good. Thank you.
She isn't.
Well. No. Yeah, some people are like that when they have pain medicine. They don't want to take it because, oh, I feel good. And then you get behind on it, and then it's hard to catch up on it. And it's like, no, I'm sorry. I don't want the pain, you know. And so, all right. Well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come together as a family and to study deeper into your word and to worship you. Pray, Father, that you will be with Melody as she continues to heal. I'm just thankful, Father, that her surgery was a success. And just pray, Father, that this will take care of her issues with her falling. And just pray, Lord, that you'll be with her as she continues to heal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we are continuing our study in the Johns, in the epistles. We are going to start this morning. Okay, I'm dragging it out, waiting on you. We had no problems with our electronics until somebody who will remain nameless made a comment to me about, you know, not wanting to do any kind of electronics because of everything, you know, you never know what's going to fail. Never since then everything failed, so. But don't worry, I'm not going to rat you out. So anyway, we are continuing our study. We are going to start this morning in 2 John. Any questions or comments on the 1 John? I know it. I'm hitting the wrong button. I have to remind myself that we go down, not up on the buttons. So 2 John, 13 verses, real short, real simple. We'll probably get through this today. We'll see. Outline for 2 John, verses 1 through 3 is a salutation, a welcoming. Verses 4 through 6 is a commendation to the listeners. Verses 7 through 11 is a warning, and we'll get into that. And then verses 12 and 13 is a conclusion. Any questions on the outline? All right. Salutation. The elder, which is John, to the elect lady, which is the churches that he's talking to, and her children, which are its members. Okay, and he'll mention these a couple of times, so remember that. He's the elder, the church is the lady, and the children are the members. Whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Okay. Do we know all the members of all the churches of Christ around the world? No, we don't. Are we all one family? Yes, we are. And you go into any church, of all the churches we've been into, and we've been in several across this country, and like I said, not around the world, but out of the country, your family. You walk in, you just met somebody, and they feel like family. You know, when we were in Iceland, we'd have families move in, and you'd welcome them. We'd have people come up there, usually guys who were temporary, TDY, they were on temporary duty assignment, and we treated them as family. They might be there 1 week, a month, or whatever, but we treated them as family. We started up a closet there. When you go up there, you don't bring your household goods. They get shipped, and it could be 2 or 3 months before your household goods arrived. Well, when you went down to the Navy, I don't remember where it was at, and you could use stuff, take stuff out of their closet, but it was stuff that was being used by everybody else and just being returned. And it was all scratched, it was broken, it was chipped, it was bent, you know. And you got furniture, we called it Flintstone furniture, because it was all just hardwood with cushions and everything. And you're using sheets and pillowcases and pillows and all this stuff that other people have been using, you know, and we didn't like that. So the church, we started up our own closet. We were meeting in the community center, and we were allowed to put a couple of cabinets in there, and we would go and we bought stuff from the BX and supplied that closet with silverware, dishes, pots and pans, cups, pillows, sheets, you know, everything that you would need that you were getting from the military, we were supplying it to our family. And the only thing we asked was that when you get your stuff, that you put something back into the closet to help the next family. And so we ended up with, you know, quite a bit of stuff there for our family, to help our family feel more at home. We were taking care of our family. Didn't know these people, but they were family, you know? And that's how you're treated. We were in Biloxi, Mississippi for, 9 months? And we were moving to Panama City Beach, Florida. Well, it just so happened there was a member at Biloxi who lived in Panama City and went back and forth. And he was going back there, and I was moving and everything else, and he went back there to live. And he became my realtor. You know, he's looking through the paper, and he was sending me these ads. Oh, this place is for rent, and this place is for rent. And we finally found one that we liked. And I said, well, I'll send you the money, you know, to rent it for us. Oh, that's okay, I've got it. You can pay me when you get here. He used his own money to put down on the deposit so that we could get that house. That's what family does for each other, you know? And sometimes when you think of your personal family, they say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, because a lot of times you don't get along with your own family, you know? And there might be members of the church that we don't get along with, but most of the time we get along, you know? And that's who we are. That's what we are as a family of God.
I was just going to say, doesn't God choose our family for us?
Anyway, so, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth. And again, that's what we're talking about. You can go anywhere and you have family. Verse 2. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. This truth, the Bible, is the truth, and it is there forever. They have gone through history trying to disprove the Bible, prove that it's wrong, prove that it's a bunch of fairy tales and fables, and they've yet to disprove anything, because it is the truth. And it will be the truth forever. And every now and then, things will pop up, and, you know, when they're at archaeological digging and all that, something will pop up and help prove the Bible. You know, they find a lost city. Oh, you know what? That was such and such a city that was mentioned in the Bible and all this. But they've yet. Science, archaeological digging has never disproved one sentence in the Bible, because it is a truth that's going to last forever. Yes, sir.
Conversely, the Book of Mormon, you know, their history with some of the civilizations and stuff that they mention and stuff, they cannot find any scrap of, you know.
It's out there. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, they can't even find any proof that any of these civilizations, you know, existed, that was totally made up. But you're right. Even as they say, well, look, that, you know, 50 years ago, they were saying, we've never heard of these places.
Yeah.
Okay, it does exist.
Yeah, it did exist.
So they keep finding everything that the Bible says is true, but other things, no, false.
Yeah. And I've got more on that, but I'm not going to bring it up this morning. Yes, sir.
The way this starts out, using words that are used a little bit differently.
How's that? Well, I don't want to get into all the confusions that are out there from all the different churches and scholars, and we'll talk about that later, and trying to interpret things, okay? Like I said, to me, from what I've researched, found in my research and all that, the elder is talking about John.
Yes.
Okay? And the elect lady is the churches in general, in whole, and the children are the members that make up the different churches.
Well, that's what I've always believed, but I think we need to make it clear when we're teaching someone, what is that referring to?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
One of the things I think of when I see that, and I agree with you, the elect lady is the church. Who's the bride of Christ? Who are we told is the bride? The church. The church.
That's a good point.
What?
That's a very good point.
Right. The church is the bride of Christ, and he's coming back to claim his bride.
Right. And so that's why I think that's the church.
Right.
Well, if you just go back to the Greek words, then it proves that that's what it means. That's why it's translated into the elect lady.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the members. So you go back to the Greek, and that's what it means.
Yeah. Yeah, the Greek usually, if you can understand the Greek,
well, yeah.
You know, explains it. Yeah. Okay. So verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. What is grace?
We've always referred to it as unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. In Christian terms, grace can be defined as God's favor toward the unworthy, or God's benevolence on the undeserving. Okay? Do we deserve heaven? No, we don't. But through the grace of God, we will make it there. Okay. What is mercy? It is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. And we always use the example of a judge. You know, he shows mercy on somebody who deserves, you know, the death sentence or deserves life in prison or whatever. And he, you know, pardons them, or he gives them, you know, lenient time or whatever, and so that's mercy. Again, we deserve death, you know, for who we are, the wretched people that we are, the sinful people that we are. But again, God has grace and he has mercy on us, and we don't get what we deserve. We ought to be thankful for that, you know, and pray to God, thank you, God, for not giving me what I deserve today. And then peace, of course, is just a freedom from disturbance. You know, it is tranquility. And John here is telling, you know, to those who are with God, grace, mercy, and peace. Not from John, but from God the Father, you know, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father. And he's given us this grace, mercy, and peace in truth and love. Yes, sir. I can always tell when you want to say something. I know it.
Think about that. Grace, mercy, peace. They're coming from God. And that peace that we're going to have, I think Paul tells us about that. When he said, and I can't remember where it is, but it's very familiar with us. What can separate you from God? And then he lists a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the last couple of weeks in my sermons. That's where you've heard it from. Yeah, there are those people who almost don't want peace. You know, they love that turmoil. They love the chaos. They love the uncertainty that their life brings them, you know, and they wouldn't know what to do with peace and tranquility and love and, you know, everything that they can get from church and God. Right.
We can't understand.
Yeah, that's true. Anything else?
There's a guy at work just last week. We were talking because he's a really like conservative guy, you know, just raised simple and work hard for a living and can't stand what's going on in the world today, you know, and he's even, you know, got like morals, you know, but I don't even think he believes in God or anything like that. I know he doesn't go to church, but he has these morals, you know, he's very adamant about his beliefs, you know, that, you know, oh, if you're a child molester, you should be shot in the head. You know, I mean, he's just very, you know, just black and white with all his beliefs, but he is so sickened by what's going on in the world that he spends lot of his money and time. He's trying to buy some property now where he can just move out and be away from people, period, and get off the grid and just be away from society because he can't stand it. And he stockpiles guns and ammo, and I mean, you know, he's always researching alternative power and stuff like that where he can, you know, just live away from people and everything. And we got talking about it, and I mentioned this very thing to him. I said, well, at some point, you know, I said, I'm just as sickened as you are by all this. But as a Christian, I can still just have peace and not worry about it because whatever is going to happen in the world, you just let them destroy themselves and do all that stuff to each other. That's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. And God's in control ultimately. They're not going to destroy this world. He is. So we just focus on doing what we can and helping others, showing the love of Christ and following him. We have that peace. We have that peace. The world sickens me, but I can still go to sleep at night not worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that traumatizes him.
Right.
Know, people of the world who don't have that peace.
Yep, that's it. All right. Now let's go to the commendation. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. Okay? John is commending them that they are walking in the truth like they should be. They're walking in the truth that Jesus shared with them, okay? And he's rejoicing greatly for that. Verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, the church, the congregation, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Does John write any new commandments? Did Paul write any new commandments? Or Peter write any new commandments? No, God, Jesus set down new commandments. Yes.
I notice it says, I have found some of your children.
Yes.
Not all.
Right.
That would indicate that some then are not.
No, and is probably the case where these Gnostic teachers that we've talked about have pulled some away. Okay? And so, and that could be what it is. We don't know. He doesn't go into any detail about it. But yeah, you're right. Some of the children have fallen. Some of the children of this lady have fallen away.
There's also a thought that he's talking about. He saw them out and about in his missionary journeys. People from that congregation out serving. And while he was out in his journeys, came across them. You know, like if we were somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have no clue what it was. He just says that he's seen some of the members doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're walking in the truth.
And yet there's something really unique here, I think. Just for me personally, it's just my personal insight that the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down, the second commandment that was etched in that stone by the
right.
It's the same.
Yes.
First statement, the elder, and I don't know, I didn't read anything about this, but why they assigned this to John, being him. One reason would be there in verse 5, that last statement, that we love one another. That John, in the book of John, he writes
right, and that's the one thing that we see, and we've seen, you know, in 1 John already, a lot of the things that he brings up in these book and these epistles refer back to, you know, the Gospel of John, and that's the reason. I mean, you see that connection between the two. So he did not what? Oh, okay. So he did not write a new commandment, but it has been from the beginning of time, that we love one another. And again, the first commandment that we have in the New Testament is to what? Love your Lord your God with all your soul, mind, strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love each other. Verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, capital H there, not Paul, John's commandments, because he just told us he didn't write any new commandments, but we walk according to God's commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, that we should walk in it. We should constantly walk in love. Constantly walk in the love of God. Okay? They're doing great. They're doing that. We need to do the same thing. Okay?
That's the hard part for us, is to constantly walk in that love.
Yes.
Because we let other people get us mad or do something that, I don't know,
ruffle our feathers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Explanation.
Yes.
And that's wrong, according to Love My Neighbor.
Yes.
It has to be sincere. If it's not sincere, then it's vain.
Right. Yeah, it has to be a sincere love. It's like, can't be, yeah, I love you, whatever. You know, get out of my hair. It's, well, except for you, Bob.
People's needs and well-being, just as if we were seeking it for our own, seeking our own. We're supposed to reciprocate how we treat ourselves by treating others in the same manner.
Yes. Yep, very good. Okay. So, it's all about love. We got to love for each other. Verse 7, here's John's warning. And we'll be discussing this. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Again, that's what these books were written for, because of the Gnostic teachers who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, because they did not believe that a good and evil could not be in the same body. And so your human is evil, and there's no way that the Spirit of God being good could exist in an evil body. And so that's what they were teaching. That was what was causing the problem. That's the reason John wrote these books. Okay, so there are many deceivers out there. Do we still have deceivers today? Yes, we do. Okay. But notice he said deceivers that do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Okay, hold on to that thought. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. An antichrist is a person who does not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Now, how many times is Antichrist mentioned in the Bible?
Four.
Ah, he looked it up. Trick question. Who was the author of those four times?
John.
Okay. The only time Antichrist is mentioned is by John. And it's all in these two, the first and second John. We've already looked at it, 1 John 2, verse 18, and 1 John 2, 22, 1 John 4, 3, and this one in 2 John 1, 7. So this is a word, if I can use this term, that he has created. Nobody else has used in the Bible this term, Antichrist. Hold on to that thought, okay? Nope, it's not. Only four times it's mentioned is by John. According to the concordance that I looked it up in, it's only listed in 1 John twice, 1 John 2, 1 John 4, and 2 John 1. That's the only time the word Antichrist is used. Now, humans have taken Daniel and Revelation and have taken the terms that you find in those, the animal descriptions of the beast with four heads and this beast and that beast and whatever, and have stated that those are the Antichrist. But as far as the word Antichrist, as John is using it here, he is the creator of that word, and he's the only one that uses it, and he only uses it in these epistles. John tells us that they confess Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. That is the Antichrist. So, my question, it's not necessarily a trick question, Is the devil an antichrist?
No.
No, he's not. He's not. But we would think of that, don't we? As the devil being an antichrist. Okay. James tells us in chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The devil, his demons, his angels, whatever his horde is, they believe in God. They believe in Jesus and they shudder. Okay? They believe that Jesus came in the flesh. The devil himself, Matthew 4, tempted Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh. He knows he is. So he's not an antichrist because he knows who he is and he believes in it. The term, or the broad term of, you know, the antichrist being, well, let me give you examples. I found this, and it says the antichrist is the son of Satan, where Jesus was born of a virgin. They say that the son of the devil was born of anything but a virgin, okay? The Antichrist was a perfectly evil human being because he was completely opposite the perfectly good human being, Jesus Christ. Number two, he was an earthly tyrant and trickster. Number three, past popes have been accused of being the Antichrist. Number four, he is one of many. And number five, he dies in the end. And this again is human or man's terminology of what the Antichrist is. But John is telling us the Antichrist is one who doesn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. And a lot of churches, religions, people take what we see in Daniel and what we see in Revelation, and they misinterpret it as being actual demon, you know, a dragon or whatever with four heads and on their, you know, crowns and everything else, and they make that an antichrist because he's going to take over the world and he's going to kill everybody else and, you know, be wiped out in the end and everything. But that is taking the, what would be a correct terminology, what Daniel is put in and what John wrote in Revelation as a reference to something else, okay? And they're making it real. They're taking it literally when that's not how, it was a symbol that John wrote, okay?
What was that verse for the demon?
James 2:19. Right.
So, and each time it explains exactly what it is, which is what you were saying, you know, that who denies the Father and the Son, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh, every time it explains what the Antichrist is.
Yeah, and it's not the devil. Because he believes in God. He believes in Jesus.
Well, the devil may very well be behind it.
But. Right. Yeah. But he's not. The Antichrist is what we're seeing here. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
Just a quick reminder. Satan knew who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
Still
in. Yes.
Believing alone is not.
Right. Right. No, it's not. All right, then. Verse 9. Okay, I don't know why. But. Oh, I'm sorry. This is continuing on the warning. Verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Okay. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Do we sin? Yes. Do we fall short of the grace of God? We do. But we are not abiding in that transgression. We're not living in sin. Okay, so there is the difference.
I find it interesting that he correlates those two so closely together, love and truth. So love is to keep God's commandments. And the only thing he warns against is not abiding in truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't abide in truth, can you truly have love?
No.
That was spoken from the beginning, you know, the apostles and Jesus. Okay, so that's the only warning, is love and don't stray from the truth. They're just so closely related.
Yeah. Yep.
And to fulfill his commandments is love.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we are supposed to be bringing the lost to Jesus. And those who are not abiding in his love, don't know what his love is, we need to show that.
So we can't bring them into our house or greet them as the scripture says. How can we bring them in if the scripture is saying not to?
Okay, hold on to that thought. Kathy?
This is the verse that bothered me because when we were in North Carolina,
okay.
Jehovah's Witness came to our door. When I answered the door, they said, can we share God's word with you? And I said, any day. And they came in. We had a 5-week Bible study. They didn't convert me, nor did I convert them. But I read that verse and it's like, because I knew they were Jehovah's Witness. I knew they weren't Christians. But yet I invited them in. So that, it makes me, like what you said, you know, we're supposed to teach them, you know, but that one, that verse still confuses me.
Hold that thought. That's where we go. That's where we're going. Yeah. Terry? Okay. Okay. Terry?
What's your purpose of bringing them in to your homes? Is it to teach them? Or is it to partake of what? Just for friendly? That's kind of my thing. You also talk about the church.
Well, I think we need to tie this in with, you know, verses, the prior verses that we looked at, you know, number 7, dealing with the Antichrist, okay? Those who do not believe the truth, okay? Not people that are outside of Christ per se, but those who do not believe the truth. And I watched the video from Mike Mazzalongo on this, and he does go with that direction that Kathy was saying. As far as the people who do not believe the truth, who are not abiding in God's doctrine, okay, they have their own doctrine that they are abiding by, then you are not supposed to bring them into your home. And you find out, if you've ever studied with any of those, like Kathy did for those 5 or 6 weeks, They are set in their way, and they're not going to listen. And you talk to one person, the next week it's different people. And the next week it's different people. They up the ante of who's coming in because they don't want you converting that person. And so they bring somebody else in because they don't want to know the truth. They don't want their people to know the truth. And so that's what John is saying here, that if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, verse 10, okay, what is that doctrine?
Anything
other than the truth, okay? When you're studying with somebody who is not in Christ, they don't know anything, they don't have a doctrine, do they?
Okay.
They don't. Okay, so this does not apply. But when you're talking to other people who have their own doctrine that is different from the Word of God, do not receive them into your home, which I'm going to say is your personal home. Because remember, back then, they didn't have churches per se. They were meeting in homes. Do not invite them into the home, for he who greets him will share in their evil deeds. So you got to be careful that, you know, it's easier to get drugged down than it is to get built up, isn't it? It's easier to get pulled away from the truth than it is to keep doing the truth for some people. Kathy?
Well, the one lady that came every week, she always brought different people. And there was a couple of times that a couple of people came and they started asking me questions and then they didn't come back. They weren't allowed to come back.
Right. Right.
Because they had given me a pamphlet to read, and it's so far gone from the truth. And after that, no, they didn't come back. And I was told, I need to study my Bible more.
Right. Yeah, and that's what he's talking about here. If they don't bring this doctrine, if they don't bring the truth, then don't bring them into your home. The only thing I remember about that girl, I met him once because I was working, and it was a girl, she had long red curly hair, and her name was Cinnamon. And that just always stuck in my head about a girl being named Cinnamon, and her head red hair.
they told me that they were trying because they started coming in, do you think there's another doctrine besides the Bible? I said, no, there isn't. And they said, if you're going to preach anything else, there's the door.
Yeah.
I said,
so.
And then they told me that there's no way the Bible could possibly contain everything that God has for us to say. And I said, you know what? It has everything that God wants us to know.
Right. If there was anything additional that God needed us to know, it would be included in the Bible. Okay. Any other questions or comments on? Yes, sir.
I want to read this passage.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Verse 12 and 13, we'll finish 2 John up. This is John's farewell greeting. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. And I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sisters greet you. Amen. How many times do you, in our digital world today, when you write somebody, email or text or whatever, do you not get your point across the way you want it to get across? Yeah, people are laughing, people are smiling, shaking their heads. You know, it's very easy, you know, I'll text Kathy, because I'm going to talk about this now, wait till you get home. Okay. You know, because it's easy to be stale, it's easy to get the wrong impression, the wrong interpretation of what it is you're trying to write. Okay, and that's what John is saying here. I've got a lot of things I want to tell you, but I'm not going to do it with paper and ink. I'm going to come to you, and then we can talk.
I think Isaiah 40:31, right?
You know. Now, again, to what was just stated, whatever John talked to these people in person about, was it information that we needed to know today as Christians? Probably, no, she's shaking her head yes. Probably not, because as was just stated, if it was something that we needed today for our Christianity, it would have been written down, and it would be something that we could read today. Okay? It's just like there are several other books out there that they claim was written by, you know, whoever. But the Catholic Church deemed that they did not fit properly into the Bible, and so they omitted them. They decided not to include them. This person wasn't, you know, whoever, wasn't anointed or whatever. Well, the way I look at it is, if those writings by whoever it was something that God wanted included in his Bible, they would be included in our Bible. I think Thomas is one. Book that was written that's not included in here. Well, if Thomas's book was something that we needed today in our Christianity, God would have made sure that Thomas's book was included in this book. Okay? So it's the same thing here. You know, whatever he was talking about was important to them, but it wasn't something that was important to us today. Otherwise, John would have written it down. All right, Kathy. That's you. Okay, no problem. Anybody else remember something they want to talk about? All right, that takes care of 2 John. Next week we will, it's another short chapter. Go ahead and read it, and we will talk about that and probably go all the way through it as well. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your comments.